In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that constantly demands proof of our worth. From childhood, we learn to measure our value by performance, succeeding at work, keeping up appearances at home, and acting as if everything is under control. Sadly, we often carry that same transactional mindset into our spiritual lives. We begin to see our relationship with God as a kind of a spiritual ledger. But what happens when life falls apart? What happens when you are too exhausted to pray, when your marriage is fracturing, or when you are trapped in a cycle of worry and regret you just cannot shake? When the spiritual checklist breaks down, we are often left with a clutching sense of guilt, feeling like we have failed God and that he has distanced himself from us. If you came today weary from trying to measure up or hiding brokenness you fear to reveal, hear this good news. Jesus did not come for those who have it all together. He came for you and for me. The first reading shows what happens when we treat God like a transaction. Israel is suffering. Their society is collapsing, and they know they have walked away from God. So they look for a quick, painless fix. They say, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn, and he will heal us. After today, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up." At first glance, it sounds spiritual, doesn't it? But no. If you look closely, they treat repentance like a formula. Say the right words, and God must fix things fast. They want healing without a real vulnerable relationship with him. They want to manage God. And God looks at their superficial piety. "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early." God doesn't want their religious performance. He says, "For I desire a steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." God is saying, "Stop trying to buy me off with a superficial promise to do better. I don't want your religious resume. I want your heart. I want your honesty." Centuries later, Jesus shows us this in the flesh. In today's gospel, he sits not with the religious elite, but with tax collectors and others that the gospel calls sinners. The Pharisees are scandalized. They believe God favors the pure, the disciplined, and those who keep the rules. So they ask Jesus, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Listen to Jesus' response. It is pure comfort for a weary soul. Those who are well have not need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Brothers and sisters, with these words, Jesus overturns our religious scorecards. The kingdom of God is not a courtroom for the morally successful, but a hospital for the broken. A doctor does not ask the sick to get well before seeking care. The only requirement is need. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and to all of us, your brokenness, failures, and wounds do not keep him away. They are the very reasons he came. Jesus does not love some future perfected version of you or me. He loves the real, weary, hurting person sitting here right now or standing here right now. To show that his mercy has not limits, Jesus immediately walks out of that dinner party and steps into two deeply painful situations. First, a woman comes to him. For 12 years, she suffered from chronic bleeding, leaving her permanently unclean under religious law. She could not enter the temple or even embrace her own family. Can you imagine that? For more than a decade, she lived isolated, exhausted, and impoverished by doctors who could not help her. She has nothing left to prove and nothing to offer. She only reaches for Jesus in the crowd, thinking, if I can just touch the fringe of his cloth, I will be healed. She touches him, and instead of her uncleanness contaminating Jesus, his life-giving mercy flows backward into her body, healing her instantly. Jesus turns to her, call her daughter, and restore her identity before anything else. Moments later, Jesus enters the home of a synagogue leader whose little daughter has just died. The mourners are already there, and the situation is beyond human help. Nothing more can be done. Death seems to have won. But Jesus moves through the grief and doubt, takes the girl by the hand and restores her to life. She stands up. My friends, this is the God we serve. He does not stand far off waiting for us to fix ourselves. He enters our isolation, touches our uncleanness, and brings life to the dead places in us. Our dreams, relationships, and hopes. This is the kind of faith that the Apostle Paul talks about in the second reading. He looks back at Abraham and Sarah, who were nearly 100 years old. Humanly speaking, the promise of a family was as good as dead. But Abraham trusted the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Brothers and sisters, faith is not claiming we are strong. It is resting in the strength of God. It looks at the empty, broken, and dead places in us and trusts that the story is not over, because we belong to the God of the resurrection. In Japan, there is an ancient art form called kintsugi. When a valuable piece of pottery breaks, the craft person does not throw the pieces away or hide the cracks with glue. They do not pretend the break never happened. Instead, the artist repairs it with lacquer mixed with gold. The cracks remain visible and shine. The restored vessel becomes stronger and more beautiful because it was broken and made whole again. Our world tells us to hide our cracks and cover our broken places with appearances. We assume God only wants what looks flawless. But Jesus is our kintsugi master. He does not turn away from your brokenness. He meets you in it. He pours the gold of his mercy into your deepest wounds and failures. So today, you can lay down the burden of trying to measure up. You can stop pretending. Bring your grief, tiredness, sickness, and even the parts of your life that feel completely dead, and place them at the feet of Jesus. He is not asking for your sacrifice. He's offering you his mercy. Take his hand today and let him love you back to life. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reminding us today that you are not looking for sacrifice. You are giving us your mercy, and you restore us anytime when we feel break. Thank you for Jesus our Lord. Amen.